This is Pure Decking, show number 581 for Thursday, October the 10th, 1980. This show about stuff that interests me, like information strategy, rigging the game, and I don't know about you guys, but dear God, I can't wait for the politics to be over. Trying to get logged into the IRC here. Anyways, so tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
Oh, nothing much. Last couple days, I haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to it, because I've been drinking.
Good for you, madman.
I've actually not been drinking. In fact, I'm not drinking tonight. Well, you know, taking a book out of our use page with my dihydrogen monoxide there.
That shit will kill you.
Yeah.
You know it's a solvent.
Yeah.
Used in all kinds of industrial processes. It's in 100% of cancers. That shit's dangerous.
Ew.
Well, madman, I also regularly drink vinegar, so...
Well, that's just weird.
Had a shot of vinegar with dinner tonight.
Were you having greens?
I'm trying to think, can I stretch the definition of French fry into a vegetable?
Into a vegetable, yes. Into a green, no. That's like collard greens. I'll accept spinach.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it does not have green in the name. But French fries are indeed vegetables. I mean, you're taking what is not necessarily a horrible vegetable and making it as horrible as you can possibly make it. But it's still a vegetable.
Hey, fuck you. I've lost 2 pounds this week, so...
Hey, congratulations.
Congrats.
So, anyways, and we have an RU.
Hey, man, it's a rough, fucking rough, hard run to fucking December for me, man. Everything I touch right now, I just destroy.
That sounds like Tuesday for me.
One step forward, fucking 9 steps back right now. It's doing my goddamn head in, and I just want to do what madman's done. Just go and drink. Won't fix my fucking problems, unfortunately.
No.
But yes, I too will be happy when the election is over, but unfortunately, it's not going to be over after voting counts.
Oh, yeah, no. No matter who wins, it's going to end up in court.
Exactly.
So... Anyways, I guess we'll get on with it. This would be an interesting one to talk about, especially because we always talk about, you know, why you shouldn't build backdoors into your systems.
Because it's retarded?
Yeah, there's that. But this one's from CNN. Chinese hackers accessing U.S. telecom firms. Yeah, CNN, a highly skilled group of Chinese government-linked hackers has, in the last several months, infiltrated multiple U.S. telecommunications firms in a likely search for sensitive information bearing on national security. Multiple sources briefed on the matter told CNN. U.S. investigators believe the hackers potentially accessed wiretap warrant requests, two of the sources said, but officials are still working to determine what information the hackers may have obtained. U.S. broadband internet providers AT&T, Verizon, and Lumen are among the targets, the sources said. I love sources because, you know, for all we know, they're just making shit up. But I've seen this story all over the place, and I'm going with CNN just because it was the most mainstream of all the sources. But, yeah, they were getting into the back doors that were built in for the wiretapping systems. Yeah, U.S. officials are concerned about the potential national security damage by the hacking, blah, blah, blah. As the backbone of the internet, blah, blah, blah. Some of the investigators would be keen interest to Beijing. U.S. government has in recent years brought charges against Chinese government, blah, blah, blah. Does it have anything in here? Did I pick the wrong article? I may have, in fact, picked the wrong article. People program hacks have been struck by the hacker's skill, persistence, ability to burn computer networks. The sources briefed on the matter said Chinese hacking team in question is known to the cybersecurity industry as Salt Typhoon. Quote, we track Salt Typhoon and have seen activity consistent with public news reports, unquote, a Microsoft spokesperson told CNN. Quote, when we see nation state activity, we provide customers with information to investigate as appropriate, unquote. Yet the Chinese government has an array of, yeah, okay. It doesn't get into this when I picked the wrong article. Damn. Cycros, IRC die. Oh, yeah, that. I had 15 years. That's a pretty good run. I had a 1,000-watt power supply make it for 20, and then I retired it more out of fear it was going to blow up than any actual explosion. So I had the distinct impression that it was ready to die. Let's leave it that way. Whether or not it actually died seems to be minutia. But, yeah, I picked the wrong article. Damn. Pretty much, yeah, they think they were getting into the back doors that were built into the telecom firms for wiretapping.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah, that's a back door to your system means you don't have a secure system.
Yep.
That's why you don't have them. You just get a warrant, and then you present the warrant and start tapping.
As opposed to, yeah, you know, and if you are going to have a backdoor to your system, you know, at least make it hard to get into. You know, do some air gapping, do some encryption keys, do something to keep somebody who's, you know, on another continent from being able to get into it. I realize it's the telecommunication systems connecting things is what it's supposed to do. But I'm kind of the opinion that if you're going to have that kind of access to one of these systems, you should probably require it be done on site. Nobody likes that answer because it's a pain in the dick and it means you have to go into the office. But no, if you have that kind of access to a system, it should be done on site. Physically in person, not remotely, not over a fucking web portal.
But everything's a web portal now. It's so convenient.
Shit, no shit. Convenient for everybody.
Like, I've got all of these documents on my computer. Why do I need an internet connection to process this? All the information I need. It's literally on my hard drive, but I can't do my job without an internet connection.
I refuse to use Fusion 360 for that very reason for my 3D printing stuff. That's the CAD everyone says to use. I refuse to use it because I do not want to be tied to an online server to run my software. I don't like it. I've got other things that are like that. I've got a bunch of stuff at work that's like that. It's an absolute pain in the ass. I hate it. It's the same reason I will never have an Adobe Suite subscription if I can help it. I'm not keen on Office 365, but I don't have much choice on that one at work. So, but yeah, anybody else get the Copilot button show up on their desktop after the last round of Windows updates?
No.
Oh no, I had that icon just get added to my taskbar.
Oh yeah, I just noticed. I fucking did.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Microsoft can go fuck themselves with this kind of shit. I've just about figured out that CAD and some audio stuff is about all I have left to figure out how to move off of Windows because I'm ready to move off Windows. I'm sick of this shit. I have to maintain familiarity with it for work and because I have to support a lot of family, but I'm sick of it for my own personal stuff.
Well, that just fucking got pulled off my taskbar.
Don't worry, you'll get an update. It'll come back.
Yeah, that's probably true. And what I've been waiting for them to start doing, and I hate to speak it into, you know, because, you know, once you speak something into the ether, it exists, right?
Yep.
But what I've been waiting, because you know how when you do a fresh Windows install, it puts Candy Crush and all these other shit that's obviously paid Microsoft to, you know, pre-install in a Windows install.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't started. I mean, I know they've tried similar things a couple of times, but I'm surprised they haven't just flat out taken an ad program to just start force installing shit on people's machines as part of Windows updates. Like I said, I hate to speak it into the ether because they'll fucking do it.
Yep.
But, you know, if they're already pushing their own Copilot and other stuff like that, and they do it with Edge too, but, you know, what's to stop? I don't know. Pick somebody to make fun of. American Apparel from paying Microsoft to force feed their shortcut onto your taskbar. Hoping somebody's going to click it.
But once you say you can put stuff on my machine that I didn't put on there, anything can be put on there.
Yep. So, but, yeah, so I imagine that's going to be the next backdoor is just paying Microsoft to push out something and it having a backdoor. So,
and initially, I was less annoyed when it was stuff that was useful to me. Like when the web browser, where they're getting in trouble with putting Explorer on everything. I'm like, but that's something I'll use. I browse the internet. Giving me a free browser isn't bad. Free ads.
Well, along those lines, there a couple of the Windows cleanup tools, the Chris Titus Tech tool, which I've linked to before for as part of Digital Dojo, they've got in their changelogs where they were trying to clean up Windows, some of the later versions of 11 with their tool. And they were trying to disable Copilot and Recall, and they figured out they couldn't do it because they've made those libraries dependencies in the latest version of Explorer. So when they force shut them down, it was actually breaking people's installs and their test versions of these tools.
Dependent, but they don't do anything that okay. They're just intentionally breaking their shit so that you have to have ads.
Well, it's a button. You know, they've put a button in the Explorer. It means in the taskbar of Explorer, it's doing something with those services. With either, Recall. Yeah, because it's supposed to track everything you do, and Copilot, it means it's got hooks into those libraries in Explorer. So, yeah. Dependencies are why Slackware is the right Linux distro. I don't know. Arch is, Arch does have a dependency system, but, Slackware doesn't have dependencies. It has libraries. Yeah, but you can still break some stuff pretty impressively in Slackware. I know, I've done it. So, not quite the damned RPM hell of the early Red Hat shit where you could, get yourself in the circle of package A requires package B, package B requires package C requires package A, and you couldn't get out of it. You had to force install something and have a broken system and hope they all went. Arch uses system. I think everything uses system D by default anymore, except for I think there's a fork of Debian that doesn't. I think there's a couple of other forks that don't. Is Slackware the only mainline Zygros that doesn't use system D by default anymore? I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Let's do the next story. Oh, Gentoo is OpenRC. Let's move on to this next one. This is from opensecrets.org. And this one is not really a tech story, but I thought it was interesting. Facing scrutiny of the global adage, cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike is on track for a record year of federal lobbying spending. Surprising nobody, I'm sure, but...
You get more of a return on that than you get on R&D.
Yep.
And that's fucking sad.
CrowdStrike, a cybersecurity firm, thrust into the spotlight over a widespread outage in July that caused what is now considered the largest IT outage in history, is on track for a record year of federal lobbying spending. quick, we fucked up. Go pay off the lawmakers. Oh.
And you know which company started that in the tech sector?
Microsoft.
Yep.
Yep.
They kept getting sued by the federal government when they weren't lobbying them. And then they started lobbying the feds. And guess who hasn't gotten sued that much since then, even though it's arguable they've done a lot more monopolistic practices since they started paying off the feds.
What was Google not lobbying then? Because they just got the antitrust probe.
They haven't been giving enough.
That one, they might not have been giving enough. But yeah, look at the history of Microsoft. For the first several years of their existence, they gave nothing to the feds.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Other than their taxes.
Yeah, I remember that. We talked about that.
Yep.
And then they got
someone looked at how much the bottom line they were making and went, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame if you were to get some antitrust laws coming on your way, wouldn't it?
I wish they would actually just enforce antitrust and not use it as a cudgel to get money out of companies. The embattled cybersecurity company spent more than $360,000 on federal lobbying in the first half of 2024. According to Open Secrets analysis of findings that cover the period through at the end of June, more than the same period of any prior year. Since the July incident, CrowdStrike has only ramped up the lobbying operation as it faces more scrutiny from lawmakers. On September 24th, members of the U.S. House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Protection grilled CrowdStrike senior executive Adam Myers about the July software outage that plagued customers across the globe with grounded flights, canceled surgeries, and the infamous blue screen of death. The multi-day IT headache triggered by a faulty software update affected around 8.5 million devices globally and is estimated to have cost the Fortune 500 companies $5.4 billion. This incident thrust the lesser-known CrowdStrike into the spotlight as its clientele, ranging from corporations to federal agencies, grappled with the fallout weeks and months afterwards. The incident on July 19th put CrowdStrike on the map for many outside the cybersecurity sector. Founded in 2011, the company provides threat detection, prevention, and response software to high-profile clients such as the FTC, American Airlines, Wells Fargo, and owners of entertainment hub Las Vegas Sphere. Yep, the company I work for uses them too. And their system isn't bad, but it does kind of have a duct tape and spit feel to it. Like they've got a nice interface built on top of it, but it looks like I don't know. You kind of get that there's only one degree separation between the hacky shell scripts and then the interface they're showing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Great paint job. Shame about the rust.
So, historically, CrowdStrike was best known for deploying immediate updates among detecting threats, distributing as many as 10 to 12 per day to users via the Microsoft Windows operating system. And that was their selling point. That kind of statistic, that was their marketing materials. We update that often. And, you know, banks and airlines, and they love hearing that shit because they think that's going to keep them from, you know, getting hacked. Which, and arguably, some of the reports I've seen out of the thing, it's effective. You know, it detects shit going on in your network, but you know, that keeping that cycle up means they can't be testing that thoroughly. In response to customer and partner feedback from the outage, the company has since shifted to a phased or staggered update rollout. Users now can select their preferred timing for updates, early, as scheduled, or deferred for extra sensitive projects like important work presentations. Myers assured the members of Congress on the subcommittee that CrowdStrike continued to assist customers who have yet to regain full access to the company's Falcon OS platform. He repeatedly expressed sorrow and regret on behalf of the company for the inconveniences caused by the outage, especially for those in rural areas with minimal access to assistance. Quote, "We are working with customers to ensure they have what they need and feel comfortable about working with CrowdStrike," unquote, Myers told the subcommittee. Quote, "We're continuing to rebuild that trust. Trust takes years to make and seconds to break, and we understand that we broke that trust and we need to work to earn it back," unquote. However, now that approximately 99% of Windows sensors for its Falcon platform are up and running, Myers noted the company has pivoted its focus to scanning for misinformation threats, especially from actors based in Iran, North Korea, Russia, and China. Gee, that's interesting. So,
I hate that. Even the idea of that. Disinformation is a thing. Misinformation isn't. Ignore it.
So the gag of it is that they don't have numbers yet, but Q2 of, I mean, basically starting last year, CrowdStrike has just started lobbying like mad. And they've got a chart here showing that in 2023, they've basically doubled their lobbying budget, and they're on track this year to do a lot more, which is no surprise given what's happened. But yeah, they're playing politics. They're not focusing on security, they're playing politics, which is why I thought this was an interesting one to put in the show. So, I don't want to read the rest of it because it gets more and more political about how the parties, you know, the two different parties are reacting and what they think it's going to do for Election Day and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. I just wanted to point out that CrowdStrike's solution to this isn't to fix their software. It's to go butter up the government, basically.
Nope.
So, and, you know, you think about it, everybody gets all shitty about Facebook and YouTube and Twitter.
They do the same thing.
Exactly. That's my point. Is that the reason Facebook and some of these companies, you know, Facebook has a freaking FBI office in their building, and they do it so that the government will leave them the hell alone. So that's why they capitulate to, you know, the requests from administrations who say, hey, censor this, censor that. It's because they don't want to draw the eye of Sauron to them because they've got a pile of money and the government's going to be like, nope, mine. So, like we were saying.
I don't hate to say it. I hate that it's the truth. But Elon's kind of ballsy with some of the steps he takes because he paints a big bullseye on himself with the stances he takes and the things he tells the government.
Yeah, he does. And that'll be interesting to see what comes of that. I guess it depends on who wins this upcoming one, doesn't it?
on him, yeah, but it shouldn't just be people like him. And it doesn't even have to be with his point of view. He's rich enough that he's one of the few people that can. But more wealthy people should be able to stand up and say, fuck you, you're wrong, and then argue their point. I can kind of understand poor guys not doing it because they don't have the resources to fight.
Or they don't want to risk their job.
He's got fuck you money.
I mean, there's a reason we don't use our real names on this show.
And I just think other rich people should be that way. I know a lot of them, I don't agree with their politics, but at least would be ballsy and admirable for them to put their money where their mouth is instead of just bitching.
Yeah. I don't know. You got anything on that one, RU, before we move on?
Really? It's just more of the same old, same old.
All right.
Nothing ever changes.
Next one up.
I know, maybe I'm just getting too cynical.
I think that's our problem with this whole show. So we've been doing this long enough. Now they're all just like, oh yeah, look,
world's I've on seen fire. It. Yep. I've seen it. Yeah, nothing new there. Oh, another shakedown. You know, fucking another collapse here, there.
Well, yeah. Speaking of another shakedown, this one's from Torrent Freak. Modded hardware defendant denies Nintendo's copyright claims in court. This one's just funny because when you look through the response, the alleged operator of modded hardware has filed an answer to Nintendo's copyright claim denying any wrongdoing. The defendant, who represents himself in court, counters with a long list of affirmative defenses, including fair use. The case will now move forward to the discovery process. Meanwhile, modded hardware side has gone private. Nintendo is doing everything in its power to stop the public from playing pirated games on the Switch console. The Japanese gaming company has won several lawsuits in recent history, including shutting down websites that distributed pirated ROMs. Most notably, perhaps, was the criminal referral that resulted in the demise of the infamous hacking group Team Executor. The group had previously released several jailbreak hacks for gaming consoles and was widely regarded as Nintendo's main nemesis. I thought Nintendo's main nemesis was the giant turtle that Mario fought.
Either that or Sega.
Yeah, no.
Although they kind of beat Sega.
Yeah, they won that one. Maybe Sony? PlayStation?
Yeah, no.
Not even in the same league.
Yeah. Fair point. With the win against Team Executor, Nintendo hoped that the modding scene would fade into oblivion. Yeah, right. But that's that's not what happened. In recent years, new tools and hardware solutions were released. Yeah, it's freaking Raspberry Pi, the 2030 chips are easy enough to use as mod chips now. So, like, it's a $5 chip and some thin wire. It's nothing to mod these consoles, requiring Nintendo to step up its enforcement efforts once again. For example, recently Nintendo went after various Switch tools, which it considers a threat to its intellectual property, including the Yuzu emulator, Lockbit, and MIG Switch. In June of this year, Nintendo filed additional lawsuits in U.S. courts to further intensify the crackdown. One of these complaints targeted modded hardware and its alleged operator, Michigan resident Ryan Daly, who's also known under the alias Homebrew Homie. Nintendo and Daly were no strangers at the time. In March, Nintendo threatened Daly with a lawsuit. Both parties agreed that the allegedly unlawful activity, which includes selling MIG devices and modded consoles, would stop. That didn't happen, however, so Nintendo sued Daly in a federal court in Seattle instead. In the complaint, Nintendo alleged that modded hardware sells several pieces of hardware that circumvent its piracy protections. Okay, your point. I don't think that's
illegal. Are they marketing for that? Or is this just something that this can also do that?
It's unlocked, right? So it means you can do it can do that. Now, do a lot of people probably mod their consoles to play pirated stuff? Sure. But it's sort of like saying I'm taking the governor off your car. That doesn't mean that what I'm doing is illegal. It means you have the opportunity to potentially do something illegal with it. But the person selling the service of taking the governor off your car is not doing anything illegal. They're just modifying a thing you own. You know, maybe it's a performance tuning thing. Maybe it's, you know, you can school me on why you would or wouldn't want to do that, but I'm just picking an example that comes to mind.
I'm just thinking modding a console, a home console, it's got to be less than 10% of console users would do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think how many of them are like, well, I don't want to fuck up my console. Those are expensive.
Exactly. You've got to be an extreme enthusiast.
Or so I'd say somebody making YouTube
less
videos.
Than 5%. Yeah, man, it's... I just don't see why Nintendo is so hard, got a hard on for this sort of shit. It's not even 5% of their customer base would do it, let alone have the knowledge to do it.
In addition to selling hardware hacks, the defendant also offered mail-in modding services and modded versions of Switch consoles for the less technically inclined. These were reportedly loaded with pirated games, according to the complaint. Quote, defendant not only offers the hardware and firmware to create and play pirated games, but he also provides his customers with copies of pirated Nintendo games, unquote. The complaint reads. Now,
that's where he's hitting the problem.
They're not Switch games.
Hmm. So someone else is standing. If they're not Switch games, I don't know if Nintendo should have standing for that.
Well, they are Nintendo games. Pirated. But they're NES games.
Oh, then Nintendo has has standing. There's where he fucked up, is he's pirating their games. He's not just modding the software.
Quote.
So in your analysis, Morps, this is like someone removing the governor and then setting the speed to always run 85. So the modding the governor's not the problem. It's that you're speeding constantly.
If I was an exec at Nintendo, I'd be like, right, show us how you're doing it. Right. We're going to sell the Nintendo Switch Plus.
And it's they're already doing it, and you can buy classic games on Switch. The reason they're bitching is he's undercutting them. And he's possibly offering games they haven't released on Switch yet.
Quote, typically when a customer purchased a hack console or the circumvention service, Defendant pre-installs the console with a portfolio of ready-to-play pirated games, including some of Nintendo's most popular titles, such as Super Mario, Legend of Zelda, and Metroid games, unquote. Yeah, the NES and Super NES versions.
And you can get the NES versions on Switch.
Well, the thing is, because I've done that, Madman, I've put them on my Switch the legal way just to see what it was like. And
are they buggy?
Oh, no, they usually run okay. They rotate out which ones you're allowed to play that day because it's a subscription service, and they don't just give you the list. It's, oh, well, this week we have Zelda. Oh, no, that one's gone this week. Now you have to, you know, now you can play Bionic Commando or Mario.
Oh, that's retarded.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, they don't keep
no them. No wonder people are pirating.
They don't keep them on all the time, or at least that's the way they did it when I checked it. Quote, typically when a customer... I already read that. Overall, Nintendo alleges that modded hardware trafficked in circumvention devices, which I don't think is a problem, by selling mod chips and MIG devices, and that violates the DMCA, for which Nintendo demands damages. Okay, it's a DMCA thing. God, that little sucks. In addition, the gaming company seeks damages for direct and contributory copyright infringement, accusing the defendant of adding pirated games to the consoles. And as Madman rightly pointed out, that is probably where you fucked up. This week, Ryan Daly filed an answer to the complaint. The alleged modded hardware operator goes up against Nintendo without an attorney and denies doing any wrongdoing. This includes the claim that Daly owns and operates the modded hardware business. They've got screenshots of the court filings here. So they've got, you know, point 28. Defendant is the owner and operator of a for-profit online business known as Modded Hardware, located at this website. Via the website, offers a variety for sale a variety of products and services designed to circumvent and bypass Nintendo's TPMs. Answer, denied. Just straight up. That's all it says. Denied. Answer doesn't include much substance. It mostly repeats Nintendo's claims, simply responding with the word denied. And in response to more general allegations, Daly replies that he lacks sufficient information to admit or deny the allegations, which are therefore denied as well. So, yeah, he's got this big thing here about how they, you know, they want to hurt us, and it's third party, and it's illegal, and it just says defendant is without sufficient information to either admit or deny the allegations of this paragraph, and on that basis denies them. I love that.
So he's going with, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, know. Oh no, it's, know. It's, it gets better.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it gets better. These types of responses are not uncommon in answers to a complaint. What is unusual, however, is the defendant is not represented by a lawyer. Without making any inferences about the validity of Nintendo's claims, it's generally not easy for a pro se defendant to counter a seasoned team of Nintendo lawyers. In addition to the denials, Daly presents a list of 17 affirmative defenses. These include fair use, invalid copyright, lack of standing, fraudulent indictment, and an arbitration clause, failure to state a claim, and unjust enrichment. The answer doesn't elaborate on any of these defenses. So it's like third affirmative defense. Plaintiff's claims are based on doctrine of fair use, or barred by the doctrine of fair use. Fourth affirmative defense. Plaintiff's claims are barred by the applicable statuses of limitations. Fifth affirmative defense. He's just throwing everything at it. Plaintiff's claims are barred due to latches. Sixth defense. Plaintiff's claims are barred due to unclean hands, which I know is a legal term, but it's still funny. Seventh affirmative defense. Plaintiff has not adequately pled to the identity of the individuals with whom defendant allegedly tortuously interfered.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure somebody just went to the sovereign citizen sites and so started copying and basic started shit.
Fucking, you know.
I mean, if I wanted to answer what I thought was a troll lawsuit, that's probably what I would do too. So
but here's something kind of interesting. Mario has been out for how long? Like the character, Jumpman, Mario.
40 years?
I wonder if he's getting close to being in public domain now. I mean, I know it's, you know,
the original 8-bit version plus from the arcade machine. Years. Yeah. I don't know. Well, because you also have Japanese copyright involved, don't you?
It depends on where they filed the suit. Because if it's a U.S. citizen, it's going to be in U.S. court. They're going to go with our laws and any applicable treaties that we signed.
Now that Daly has answered the complaint, the lawsuit can move forward to the discovery process. At this stage, both parties can gather evidence, typically includes depositions, interrogations, and requests for documents. Whether the alleged modded hardware operator will continue solo isn't entirely clear. Last month, Nintendo informed the court that it was in contact with the defense's attorney. It's unknown what happened since, but it's possible that Daily will seek legal assistance again in the future. The modded hardware website, meanwhile, is no longer publicly accessible. It now requires a password to access. But I just love the straight up fuck off. Would it be copyright or trademark law? Oh, I don't know. I'm assuming copyright, Psychros, because I mean it's ROMs. That's the big one. It's that they're gonna have a case against, because I don't agree with the whole DMCA protects everything that could be considered a circumvention device, because it's too fucking broad.
Yeah, it covers scotch tape.
Oh, for Mario?
Just the DMCA. It outlaws scotch tape and magic markers.
Oh, yeah, because you can circumvent copy protection on CDs with that.
Yeah, and the scotch tape does audio cassettes. How many people use audio cassettes now?
Fair point. Some floppy disks, too.
I didn't know the floppy disk trick. I just knew, not that I would ever pirate my audio tapes, but I knew that trick from barely using audio tapes.
Yeah, you would get professionally produced floppy disks that didn't have the little write protect tab. They were just always open. And if you put a piece of tape over them, you could write to the disks.
Oh, cool.
Little square on the left-hand side of the disk.
Yep, that's how you... You know, all those free AOL discs, that's how you made them into something useful. So, yep. I just love the troll response where he's just got every flipping defense he can think of in there. And what that is he's probably been talking with a lawyer, and instead of, like, hiring them specifically for the case, he just probably went in and got some advice, and then just put everything he could in there so he's got room to use all of that, you know, to actually build his case. Oh, Psychros is saying he meant just for Mario on copyright or trademark. I don't know. I don't think Nintendo uses Mario as a trademark, do they? I thought it was like their logo was their trademark.
He's logoed, but he'd still be protected under copyright because he's a character.
He's their mascot, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's effectively a mascot.
So. Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of amusing that they go after these mod sites and not, you know, you go on Amazon right now. Oh, hell, let's just do it for fun. Go on Amazon. Punch in, what? Portable game player. Or game console. Okay, that's what's suggested. Portable game console. 16-bit handheld concept. Console for kids, $32. 230 HD classic retro games. What do you think those are?
Individually handcrafted games.
Sure.
And on those, you'd have to buy it and see what games you got, or at least find the list. Because I think a lot of those, it's hard to find, to do a dive and find who owns the copyrights to a lot of the old Atari games.
There are a ton of games like that.
Yeah.
There are tons of old games like that where the original studio went under a long time ago, and somebody may or may not have bought the rights to it. So, you know, who has the rights to it now? I don't know. But I've got some of these little portable retro console things for fun. They all come loaded with every fucking Super Nintendo game, every fucking Nintendo game, most of the Genesis games, most of the Master System games. I mean, yep. You're going after somebody doing bespoke modding of a Switch console, which, like RU made a big point about, is probably less than 1% of your user base. You know, if you want to go after somebody for ROMs, just go on Amazon and look at all these sellers who are selling these preloaded systems. Anything that says it comes with... Yeah. Oh, here's something. $35. Upgrade wireless retro game console stick. Looks like one of those Intel compute sticks. Retro story video game console. 20,000 plus games with 15 emulators. I'm fairly certain they've got like 20 copies of Mario in there. Just go say.
Yeah, it'll be all different versions.
Well, yeah, when they have some ridiculous number like that, it's usually the same ROMs repeated over and over and over again. with slightly different
colorings and stuff. Yeah.
Or all the different hacks versions where it's like, this is the one where Mario is Sailor Moon or, you know, bullshit like that.
Yeah. Or it's, you're playing as fucking Sonic the Hedgehog in Mario World.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit like that. It's like, here it is, Sonic 2 for the Genesis, but we've added in all the fan characters. God, no.
Oh, the horror. But one thing I'm not sure why people still go with the whole mod or even pirate route, because I'm looking at a legit Nintendo product on Amazon right now. Retro gaming console classic mini handheld video game console. Comes with 620 games. $39.99.
Pretty sure that's not a legit Nintendo console.
Yeah, it doesn't sound legit.
I don't think they sold a handheld. I know they did the SNES Classic.
It's the plug-in. It's a plug-in, but it's listed as handheld for some stupid reason.
That's not going to be an official Nintendo product.
Yeah, the last one I saw that was in a store only had 100 games. They wanted 95 for it.
They sold Nintendo's official ones were the SNES Mini and the NES Mini, and I think they only had like 30 some odd games on each of them.
Let's ditch the third party. I had this saved for a little bit because I was thinking of buying one.
So, but yeah, I just think it's odd that they're going after the open source stuff and the hacker scene on the internet rather than going after that, because that to me seems much more blatant.
On some of them, it's who could they find in a country that will uphold copyright.
And you're probably right about that.
Because when it comes to these, it's not who's breaking the law and who isn't. It's what country enforces law and which one doesn't. Or which one will uphold the law for everyone, and who only prosecutes whenever it's their country pushing it and not someone else's.
That's fair and probably correct. So, but anyways, let's move on to this next article. It's from Newsweek.
Oh, before we skip over, one thing I was looking up, because that everyone I know that games on consoles, they do either PlayStation or Xbox. So I'm always thinking Nintendo and modern consoles can't be that big. They've got a $10 trillion market cap.
Oh,
it's a different gamer they're going after, Madman.
Yeah, and it's bigger than PlayStation and Xbox combined.
It's the default one parents will get for younger children. That's why it sells more. It's more female-orientated, too, in its game design.
And it's the Switch has a, what is it, 8-year-old NVIDIA Tegra chip in it.
They're not competing against, you know, your modern warfare and stuff like that. They're doing Animal Crossing and little puzzle games and shit.
Well, the point I was about to make was that they sell these Switches for $300-$400, right? It's got the same chip and processor in it as the $20 tablet on Amazon. So it's not a hardware thing. Pure profit because it cannot cost them that to make that.
You're buying a family friendly brand. Yes, is what you're doing. Your kid's not going to get a copy from his buddy up the road of Grand Theft Auto 5. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you say that, but if you go in their store, because they opened up to indie developers in their store in the Switch, there's some stuff in there that I don't think would fit the Nintendo brand image.
Well, they should clean that the fuck up. Oh, I'm serious, man.
I know.
In my mind, they have a family-oriented, friendly brand.
Everything they sell on it certainly is, but their online store and some of their third-party stuff is arguable.
I can confidently sit down and put a 10-year-old in front of it and walk away, not worrying that they're accessing first-person shooters or anything like that.
There are first-person shooters on the Switch.
No, but I mean, in the guise of like Grand Theft Auto, fucking Call of Duty, shit like that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they don't run nearly as well on there, but there are a lot of them.
It's not the level of detail.
I mean, Doom Eternal's on the Switch. Doesn't run that well, but it's on there.
Yeah. So, as a parent, you still got to have some sort of fucking interaction.
You know, sit down and maybe, you know, have you thought about sitting down with your kids and hitting them?
Hey, have you thought about unplugging the ether cable from it?
Yeah, really?
Turning the Wi-Fi off, you know? Like, fucking play what you've got.
I don't understand why people say kids are so hard to deal with. You go to the pet store, you get the big crate, and you just...
Exactly. Crate them.
Crate train them when they're young so they're used to it. Like a dog. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Play with them, talk to them, and treat them like people, and you'd be surprised how young kids can be people.
You keep your working theory, madman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the definition of people is, the bar is actually pretty low. So, anyways... next article is from Newsweek. A group linked to a pro-Palestinian hacktivist movement has launched a catastrophic cyber attack, revealing the details of 31 million people, compromising their email addresses and screen names. Account on X under the name SN_BlackMeta claimed responsibility for the attack on the Internet Archive, a nonprofit organization, and implied that further attacks were planned. The Internet Archive is known for its digital library and the Wayback Machine. SN Black Meta has previously been linked to an attack against a Middle Eastern financial institution earlier this year, and a security firm has linked it to a pro-Palestinian hacktivist movement. Encrypted passwords were also exposed, and although these are relatively safe, users have been advised to change passwords, and one expert has told Newsweek people should avoid browsing or using any files obtained from the site until it has been declared as an all-clear. The breach was accompanied by a series of distributed denial of service attacks that temporarily took down the organization's website, archive.org, on Wednesday, and is continuing to affect the website currently. Wayback Machine is also inaccessible right now. Brewster Colley, founder and digital librarian of the Internet Archive, confirmed the breach and acknowledged ongoing DDoS attack. In a post on X, Colley stated, quote, "What we know, DDoS attack, fended off for now, defacement of our website via JavaScript library, breach of usernames, email, salted encrypted passwords. What we've done, disabled the JavaScript library, we're scrubbing systems, upgrading security. We'll share more as we know it," unquote. So archive.org is actually doing a pretty good job on being hashed and salted is, well, it says salted encrypted, doesn't it? It says salted encrypted, not hashed. Well, that's obnoxious. Internet Archive Digital Library was founded in 1996, mission providing universal access to all knowledge, most used services, Wayback Machine, blah, blah, blah. So the article goes on, but SN Black Meta, who recently claimed responsibility for the attack, has been linked previously to other cyber attacks, including a record-breaking DDoS attack against Middle Eastern financial institution earlier this year, the hacktivist group, who emerged in November of 2023 and previously targeted the Internet Archive with a DDoS attack in May of 2024, battered the Middle Eastern Financial Institute for 6 days with attacks using a new DDoS for hire service called Infra Shutdown. Cybersecurity firm Radware connected SN Black Meta Pro to a pro-Palestinian hacktivist movement that utilizes DDoS for hire services like Infra Shutdown. In posts on X from October 9th, SN Black Meta stated, quote, "The Internet Archive has and is suffering from a devastating attack. We have been launching several highly successful attacks for 5 long hours, and at this moment, all their systems are completely down," unquote. The account added, quote, "Second round, new attack, 9/10/24, duration of 6 hours, unquote," linking to a series of status reports on check-host.net showing multiple connection timeouts for the Internet Archive. Community note attached to this post on X read, quote, "Readers added context that they thought people might want to know. The group claims they took down the Internet Archive because it belongs to the USA, who supports Israel, which is not true. The Archive is not U.S. government. It's a nonprofit that includes many resources about Palestine, which we now can't access because of this attack," unquote. "Sophisticated DDoS attacks like this one, just suffered by the Internet Archive, are often politically motivated," unquote, Meller said. Although SN Black Meta has openly claimed responsibility for the latest Internet Archive DDoS attack, Mellor says, quote, while editors, come on, quote, while SN Black Meta has implied involvement in the data breach that occurred more than a week earlier, it's currently unclear if they were actually responsible for that attack or if the website defacement, which occurred on the same date, just, you know, so, okay, so they don't know that these are linked. So it goes on, but it's just odd that they're going after the internet. I mean, they're thrashing around, throwing a tantrum, trying to get attention because they're not getting their way politically, right? But it's an odd thing to go after the Internet Archive. Like, you know, going after Middle Eastern financial institutions kind of makes sense. I'm sure you could probably come up with a whole list of organizations that would make sense to go after if you were pro-Palestine. Internet Archive wouldn't be on that list.
No, you'd be going after government institutions of any government aligned with Israel. Israel and Israeli companies.
So, yeah, I just don't see internet. I mean, the only reason to go after the Internet Archive is purely to get attention.
So this group went after Arab banks as well, you say?
It just says a Middle Eastern financial institution.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave a big X to doubt on that whole story. Thanks.
Fair.
No, I could see them going after Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Pretty much anyone that signed the Abraham Accords.
Well, I mean, this is a problem that spins up round and round every year and never seems to have a solution, but...
It has a solution, but for some reason Israel doesn't want to commit a genocide. I don't know why.
Okay, fair. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, or you know, we can't just say Gaza Strip, you're Egypt's problem now, or something.
Egypt doesn't want them.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They actually tried that with the end of the 7 Days War. Egypt would take the oil fields back, but they wouldn't take the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, so
as for the West Bank, the country of Georgia won't take those.
Either country in the area will take either side of this conflict in their
take. Oh, no, they won't take the Palestinians. They're fine if Jews want to go to those countries, and by fine I mean they.
They won't have any autonomy.
Well,
but no one wants the Palestinians. The Palestinians. They're a shit show. So, you're importing terrorists.
Yeah. So, like I said, the whole and the way some of the. I don't understand most of the activists for this. I mean, I understand having
an
opinion.
I don't understand any activist.
I understand having an opinion on the conflict, having a belief, standing behind it, even getting out and protesting or making your views known, trying to, you know, make your arguments, you know, having conversations. I get all that. I don't understand what some of the activists are doing, and I don't understand some of the alliances. The whole Queers for Palestine thing doesn't make any sense to me because it's like they'll throw
Shut
you
up,
off Wolfs, a building.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
They'll throw you off. They'll kill you. Why are you support? I don't understand. I don't
it's
understand. You're like natural enemies.
The Queers and the Palestinians aren't looking at their friends with each other. They're looking at their enemies of the United States.
Oh, friend, yeah. Enemy of my enemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that they want to coexist. It's they both want to overthrow the U.S.
And the greatest thing, Morps, you can hope we all lose and they win. That way we get to watch them fight to the death.
Well, I did always kind of wonder what would
either
happen.
Either way, I fucking win, man.
I did always kind of wonder what would have happened at the end of World War II if the Axis had won, because you had both the Japanese and the Germans claiming to be the Übermensch, and I think the Germans must have won because I just used the German word for the superior race as opposed to, and you had the Italians in there thinking they had a horse in that fight too, but Obviously not. Always kind of wondered how that would have gone down if they had actually won. You know what I mean?
China would be Japanese now.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean you have two different. You had these two different groups that both thought that they were the superior race and they were allied with each other. It's like, what happens if you win? You're going to have to go to war with each other.
Yeah, about 4 decades after the win. Because you got to think, how long is it going to take for Japan to completely encompass all of China, and then they're going to help Hitler overthrow Russia because... China wants their Japan was going to want their half of Russia. by their half, it would be everything that was once part of China.
Okay.
Never know, Morps. You might get your wish.
Yeah.
You never know which way things will go.
I'm going to skip the last story because I'm looking at the clock. It was Fidelity Investments got breached. So,
yeah.
Another group of people had their information exploited, because that was the theme tonight, was things getting popped and people being... Let's do this. So Psychro sent me a cool link on the BBS, which we do have instructions for connecting to BBS on the website. That's actually working right now. I don't know what's going on with the IRC embed. I had to take it out because it was just crashing the website. And you're telling me they're still having problems with the player for the stream, although that was working for me, so I don't know what's going on there.
Dude, as I said, everything I touch lately, I just fuck up, so don't... But
anyway, so Psychro sent me this, kycnot.me, which is a whole list of services for either working with cryptocurrency or that accept cryptocurrency. And are private, you know, and for privacy purposes. So you got a whole bunch on here. Some are for like doing exchanges, like, you know, changing one crypto for another. Bitcoin to a Monero, atomic swaps is the first thing on the list there. You got several VPNs that say they take crypto, privacy friendly VPNs, strong cryptography, no logs, that kind of stuff. And it's just a nice little index of all these different crypto-friendly services, which is pretty cool. So, you know, if you're wanting to explore that and, you know, use cryptocurrency as cryptocurrency rather than failed investment schemes, you know, something to use. Or, you know, if you're wanting to just use cryptocurrency to get VPN connections that are anonymized, this is probably a good resource as well. So thank you for that, Psychros. That's all I got. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, Galaxy 15 radio site and the BBS. And, I need to redesign the website, so I'm open to suggestions. Anyways, that's, Madman. Closing thoughts.
All of your information is out there on the internet. Buy insurance. Or better yet, put a credit freeze if you're not planning to go out and get a loan anytime soon. That way, other people can't fuck up your shit as easily. This is not legal advice. This is just me caring for the entire world, telling you what you should do to prevent your credit from going to shit. Because you might not know that you got a $10 billion loan in, I don't know, the Bahamas. But that guy that has your social security number, name, address, and everything they got from Fidelity, or from Sony, or from Equifax, they did get that loan. And now you're getting fucked because of it.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
I'll just go with Madman there. He said enough for two of us.
Oh, yeah, and then shoot everyone in charge of Equifax. In Minecraft, hypothetically.
Minecraft is hard to shoot people in. Maybe Roblox?
A lot of guns in there. Yeah, but the faggots run that game. I mean, I guess now that Mojang no longer owns Minecraft, you can say faggots run Minecraft.
I would say Fortnite, but that requires installing Fortnite. So, I mean, yeah. All right, I'm just going to hit buttons now.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional
zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I have never been horny in my entire life.
Hand grenades, very important. If you use hand grenades, please use vegan grenades. No animal should have to give their life for all this mayhem and chaos. They have a special sticker on them. You really can't miss them in the...
Security! Security! She's got a break.